So we talk a lot about technology on this program, and my next guest is Sherry Turkle, MIT professor, clinical psychologist, and author of the new book, Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
This book, in many ways, is a capstone, but also a sort of cautionary plea from really a life's work of exploring the relationship between technology and human beings. And, you know, you reach a point in technology where you suddenly look back and notice how much your relationships have changed. One listener from Oklahoma texted us actually within the last 24 hours. Yes, I stopped dating a guy who would only text me. We lived 2 hours away from each other, and I could never get him to talk on the phone. A sort of hindsight discovery of, whoa, I've been changed by all this. Why would I date somebody who would prefer to text me than talk on the phone? It's just one of many examples of how technology is changing the whole social fabric. What do you see when you look out?
Well, that's kind of was my experience. I mean, this book is a third in a trilogy. I've been studying, I've been teaching at MIT and pretty much studying technology and people since I got there. And I've described this book as a book of repentance in a way, because I was swept up in the, and still in many ways remain swept up in all of the wonderful things that technology brings us. But then as really in the past 15 years with the mobile revolution, I think that really was the turning point. When you can have technology always on and always on you, there are some things that become possible, like continually texting, never really having to meet face-to-face, being able to always be in communication but not connect, that I began to notice and began to study. And this book is a 15-year study of really what the mobile revolution has done to us, where I just thought, you know, whoa. And like your person who wrote in said, you know, I think it's just time to step back and make some corrections. A lot of this book, see this book as the book of a Luddite. It is not. I love technology, but I think we're in a partnership with it where we've gone down some false paths, and we need to make the corrections.
You know, Kevin Kelly wrote in a book that was published recently, What Technology Wants, describing that we're kind of in a river that we can't negotiate on our own of technology's evolution. Yet explain this phenomenon to me. I mean, 10 years ago we were talking about Napster and the destruction of intellectual property by the downloading of music, and that the entire music industry was going to go away because DVDs weren't worth anything anymore because people could share them. What has happened all of a sudden is that the music industry's value lies in the experience of the concert suddenly. It's the face-to-face live experience of the music that suddenly has greater value. It seems to me, in some sense, technology was responsible for us figuring that out.
I think that's what's happening. In other words, I think that I'm marking the moment for a similar kind of, wait a minute, let's rediscover what's really important here, which is our face-to-face with each other. So I think where I'm trying to mark a turning point where we're coming to some of the same conclusions about our communication. But we need to kind of get a grip, and I'm hoping to start a conversation about that, because where we stand now, parents are texting at the dinner table with their kids, they're texting at breakfast, they're in the park. And I'm talking about the parents, not the kids, because one of the surprise findings of this, of my research, is that we're blaming the kids, we're blaming the teachers, excuse me, the teenagers. That was a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
We're blaming the teenagers for behavior that, in fact, the parents are modeling.
Although teenagers as teachers, I mean, this is an experience that my wife and I live every single day.
Yeah.
Our 12-year-old twins are constantly texting and having these conversations on Facebook, to the point where we literally had a discussion over the weekend that our kids' definition of what constitutes public and private speech is fundamentally different from our intuitive sense of that. So how do we reach them?
Well, this is one of the things I discuss in Alone Together and really think is important and needs to be taken very seriously. Because if you democracy and privacy, intimacy and privacy, you know, what is intimacy without a sense of privacy? And we need to really teach. And what is, you know, if we don't teach our children on a somewhat different register, if you don't teach your children how to be alone, they'll only know how to be lonely. So even the capacity for solitude is something that's being challenged by always being connected. These are things that need to be taught again and valued again within context of families.
You know, that notion of if you don't teach your kids how to be alone, they will just be lonely. James Ellsworth, one of our listeners, writes, technology has made it impossible to not be around a phone or computer. The seclusion comes from the ability to be secluded. That skill, to seclude yourself, is the real challenge right now.
It's a fundamental ability. I end my book with Thoreau, a great thinker who also, in a time of tremendous rapid change, said, I need to learn in the context of all this industrialization what it is to just think a thought by myself. And one of the things I find psychologically as I probed in these interviews, and I had the luxury as an academic of really being able to study this in depth and over a great deal of time, is that things are moving from I have a feeling I want to make a call to I want to have a feeling I need to send a text. In other words, even...
So the text generates the feeling.
The idea that communication, I share, therefore I am. And I think that too is a changing sensibility.
Listen to this listener here.
We really don't know what the end game will be with all this advance in technology. It does not create jobs. It replaces good working jobs by devices which can do the job but don't get paid and don't bring revenue into the country.
Now, the simplistic view of what he's saying, of course, he's an old guy over the hill. We should just chuck him onto the dustbin of history, right? Just like 50-year-olds like myself. The automation thing is too simplistic. It's really the degradation of relationships in the workplace that he's talking about ultimately. Where do you think this erosion of the social network is most destructive in actual practice?
Well, everybody has a specialty, and my value added is about the degradation of our communications and our relationships with each other. That's what my book is about. In families,
but
in communications
Facebook,
with each other.
We're communicating more and more and more. Come
communicating
on.
Is not the same as connecting, and that's where we're committing a category error. Just because you're communicating does not mean that you're connecting. Just because we've lost the sense of what a conversation is.
So this is a better interview because you're in the studio with me than it would be if we were on the phone?
Let's put it this way. It's a different interview. It's a different interview.
Higher value?
We need to have both.
We need to be able to assess the value of one over the other.
We have to remember the value of this so that we remember the value of being in the physical presence of other people. It's not that the other isn't valuable. It's not that you don't want to have it. And that's why I don't like the metaphor of addiction, because addiction implies that we're going to get rid of these phones, we're going to get rid of the stuff, we have to get rid of it. We don't have to get rid of anything. We just have to remember the value of this.
As Carol Burnett said, I'm so glad we had this time together. Sherry Turkle, MIT professor, clinical psychologist, author of Alone Together, Why We Expect More from Technology and Less from Each Other. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
She was in the studio. Let's just say that for the record. You know how to reach us. Weigh in on this or any other subject on the program, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Or just come on into the studio and see us in person. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.